Hello, hello, this is Mustar FM 89.6 and the program Point of View. Today in the studio are three of us, Carmen and Maria from Spain, and I am Natalia from Russia.
Hello.
Hello.
As we come from three different cities and also two different countries, we have very diverse travel and life experiences. We take very different positions on the question of cities. In this program, we are going to compare our opinions on small cities, wise big cities, towns, wise cities, and countryside, wise towns. We also will talk about what a city is and what are the components of a city. Also, where we personally feel at ease, in a town or in a big city. So, Carmen, do I remember correctly that you're from Malaga?
Yes, I am from Malaga. This is a city that has a population of 500,000. Also, I live for a short time in a city in the north of Spain called Santiago, and it has a population around 100,000 inhabitants.
Interesting. And you, Maria, where are you from? Which town or city?
I am from Algeciras. It has a population of 120,000, but I have also lived in Malaga and in Seville, which are bigger cities. What about you, Natasha?
I come from a relatively big city, Omsk, which has a population of 1 million people. But for the last 3 years, I lived in Moscow, which is the biggest city because it is over 10 million people.
Now I'm going to talk about what's big and what's small, depending on the people and how they feel about it in different countries. Because depending on the country, people have a different idea of what a big city or small city is. For example, in Finland, 100,000 people is considered to be a big city. However, for Scotland, that would be a medium city because a large city has to be over 500,000 people. Now, Germany shares the same view as one of them. Which one do you think it is, Finland or Scotland?
I think it's Scotland.
Then I'd say Finland.
The correct answer is Finland. Good job, Natalia.
Okay, so then it's over 100,000.
Yes, 100,000 is considered a large city in Germany.
Okay, interesting. But I think it's very tricky with the definitions. For me, it's more about the feelings. However, before our talk, I looked it up in the dictionary what a small city is, and I found out that according to the World Organization of United Cities, a small city is a borderline between city and town, and they say that small cities are urban centers with between 2,000 and 50,000 inhabitants. They also say that in general, small cities can be well connected to the rest of the country and the world, and they have some typical for a big city economic activities. They have industries, shops, and services. However, social environment will be different and more modest than in a big city. This is one of the major attractions and downfalls of a small city. But would you consider your cities big or small?
I would say my city, Algeciras, is medium-sized because it is not as big as the capitals, but also it's not as small as some Spanish towns.
I think that Malaga is a big city because it has more than 500,000 inhabitants and because it is the sixth largest city in Spain.
Okay, my native city Omsk is big, but I feel that it's a village because it has village vibe and it is actually bigger than Malaga, two times bigger, but it feels differently. And does Malaga count as an economically important city for Spain?
Yes, economically, it is one of the most important cities in the south and from the whole of Spain overall. And now I will tell you more about Malaga. My city of birth and residing is Malaga, a large city in the south of Spain. I can see that Malaga is a big city because it has more than 500,000 inhabitants. And this city has airport and wide range of museums, theaters, hotels, restaurants and shops. Many of the most important and relevant companies in the world have their headquarters in Malaga. It also has a port, a technology park, an important transport network with metro, AVE and buses. It is also possible to study many of the degrees that exist today. How Malaga is a big city, sometimes it can be stressful. But for me, Malaga has the best of the small and the best of the big cities because I can find shopping, entertainment, as well as other much quieter areas. For example, mountain very close to the city center, which allow me to be in contact with nature without having to make a big effort. Also, it is very easy to move from one place to another. So for me, this is a very comfortable and modern city.
My city, as I've said before, is called Algeciras. It's in the south of Spain and is very close to Africa. It has a population of 120,000 people, and it has all of the advantages of a bigger city, like services, infrastructure. For example, it has a very big mall and several schools and hospitals. Therefore, I didn't have to travel to another city to use their services because Algeciras had everything. Although the public transport is not as good as it should be, there are only a few buses and they come few and far between. It has nice weather and there are several beaches, which usually attract tourists. Culturally, there are bunkers next to the sea from a long time ago, where soldiers would hide and prepare for an attack when enemy ships came to the shore. In addition, in the city center, there are ruins that can be visited, or if you would rather be close to nature, there are also hiking trails for people who want to exercise.
That's exciting. I like hiking trails. Maybe not so much the bunkers, but useful as well. My native city is Omsk, and that's in the top of 10 biggest cities in Russia. I don't think that it represents the mentality of a big city. There is everything in terms of services and entertainment, but it also happens that a friend of your friend will know either you or another of your friends, so for me it's still a big village. Another point that the infrastructure is not that perfect, and the transport runs poorly in the evening and also during winter when it's very cold. Omsk is in western Siberia, and in winters it freezes up to minus 30 degrees. So it's not very convenient to look for your bus in the evening in winter when it's minus 30. And every spring citizens are striking with dirt and big ponds on roads. Moscow, however, shares little with Omsk. The infrastructure is very nice and super developed, and it's easy to manage the logistics and any service 24/7. On the other hand, the huge distance in within the city makes you feel really tired quite fast, and the expenses are much bigger than in Omsk. To sum up, I feel that 1 million city can be a small city, and 12 or 10 million city is already a real metropolis.
But when we talk about a small and big city, we already understand that it's relative. It's also different from previous time. The origin of city lies in the settlement of people, the beginning of commerce, invention, although city as we know then begin to emerge after the first industrial revolution, when city began to expand and integrate, creating police department, fire service, hospital, roads and electricity networks. For many centuries and until the second half of the 20th century, the difference between the more rural area, the countryside of a small town, and the large urban center was very clear and significant. The difference can be seen in the activity of the population, in the morphology of the building, in the density, in the facilities. Historically, big city has always been a place of much more culture, innovation, freedom, social mobility. However, small towns have generally been administrative centers, service centers, marketing centers, and centers for the sale of products needed for agriculture. They have largely acted as necessary link connected the countryside with the outside world. 100 years ago, only 2 out of 10 people lived in cities, but today more than half of the world's population live in urban areas.
So that changed quite a lot. Can it be that different country regions are responsible for different lifestyles rather than square kilometers? For example, when you think about Spanish cities, is there any difference between East and the West?
I would say yes, because especially in Spain, some regions have different languages and also the climate varies too. Therefore, I think it's not because of how big or small they are, rather than their particular traditions, cultures, and circumstances.
Okay, and what about you, Carmen? What do you think?
I believe that both uses are important. Obviously, city with coast are different from inland city, that some have beach and others don't. Means that their inhabitants already have different, but also to inland city can be different just because one is bigger than the other. For example, lifestyle are different between Madrid, the capital of Spain, a big city, and Cuenca, a city near of Madrid, with only 50,000 inhabitants.
I see. As Carmen told us, geography plays a huge role. You can observe that well in Russia, because the temperatures vary greatly. In winter, the difference lies between minus 35 degrees in the north and east and plus 15 degrees in the southwest. So I think that definitely puts some people in pressure of how to survive in winter, and other people are just enjoying their lives more than the northerners.
Yeah, definitely.
But now let's try to make a debate, because I know we talked before the program and every one of us holds a certain preference. Maria, for example, likes bigger cities. Carmen prefers smaller cities. And I can't choose and switch between two. So I suggest that we look at your favorite type of cities through different categories, such as employment, services, hospitals in the city, cinemas, etc., etc. And maybe then I will get persuaded by either one of your points. So maybe let's start with employment. Carmen, what is your point on employment in a small city?
The most positive thing about a small city is that the labor market tends to be less competitive. There are also many business opportunities. And traditionally, work in a small town can be more heredity and family than in a big city. On the negative side, there is less demand, and also because there is less competition, worker in a small city may be less productive than in a big city. Also, in a small city and town, job may be more related to agriculture, livestock, fishing, mining, so the contract may be more temporary or precarious.
I think that in the big city, there are more job opportunities than in a village or the countryside. What's more, is that you'll also find a vast variety of opportunities as well. Anything that you've studied could give you the position that best suits your education. People can pursue careers while they're living within the city. In retrospect, it wouldn't make sense to pursue, for example, a technology-focused job in a small town, especially when those roles are more suited to more urban ecosystems. Besides, the salary is likely to be higher in a bigger city. And also, if you're living there, you can get in contact much easier with clients, colleagues, and even your boss.
On the other hand, small cities tend to have more primary sector activities. And then the raw materials which are produced in small cities can be used by companies in large cities. Therefore, small and large cities sometimes can end up complementing each other, as I think. But what about traditions and local customs? I feel like traditions are a part of a countryside rather than cities. What is your experience?
The tradition of big city are being lost in favor of a global culture made up of many cultural elements from practically all over the world, and that tend to be more in line with the general values and tastes from all over the world. On the other hand, in a small city, cultural heritage and traditional usually has a very important place. They become a sink of identity, a way of creating business, tourist leisure. So tradition in a small city or town lasts much longer and are lived in a more collaborative way. People get more involved with them. Also, a small town have more traditional than big city, and the tradition in a small town are usually cheaper than in big city. However, there might be traditional for more particular taste.
I agree with you that in small towns, there might be more tradition due to their history. But also, I have to say that in bigger cities, more people means more ethnicities and traditions. One thing that can be very comforting in a big city with millions of people of different backgrounds is that everybody is sharing the same experience of living in the city. Big cities are more welcoming than many people believe. And if you go to the same places and do the same activities, you will quickly meet new people who have similar interests and likely came to live in the city for the same reasons as you.
And can you share some of your city's favorite traditions?
Yes, of course. In Algeciras, there is a very special tradition that I want to tell you about. First, I'm going to give a little bit of context. In Spain, we celebrate Christmas, and even though Santa Claus is getting popular, the people who give children the presents, in my country, are called the Three Wise Men. So, a long time ago, the children of Algeciras decided to do something to attract the Three Wise Men on January 5th, which is a day before the men come. They took several cans, drilled little holes in them, and tied them up with a rope. Then, they could drag the cans through the city and make noise, so that the Three Wise Men were able to hear them and give them the presents. This tradition continues to this day, and each year the designs get more complicated and you can see a dragon, a toy made of cans, and many more.
Wow, that's unexpected. And also, I just didn't get it. So when do you have Christmas precisely, or the New Year? Is it January 6th?
Yeah, we have Christmas instead of being Christmas Eve the 24th, which is the everybody's thing, we have it on the 5th, the present giving, like the night of the 5th, and then you wake up the 6th with the presents.
Wow, that's very close to Russia, actually, because we have Christmas on January 6th at night.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, so that's one day after.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Unexpected. And what about you, Carmen?
In Malaga, there are two well-known events. One is Easter Wheat, and the other is the Awoods Fair. Many people usually attend these two events, and the city prepares especially for them. Also in Malaga, there is another very important date, 16th of July, the day on which Virgin del Carmen is honored for being the patron saint of sailors. You know, Malaga is a city with sea.
Okay, but so far it seems like in both of your cities are some local traditions and events, and they can easily beat each other in this competition. My favorite topic is education. As I spent more than 15 years of my life studying, I think that this sector is very important and it has a paramount influence on a person. And the lack of good institutions is a factor that for me personally would destroy the city attractiveness. Carmen, do you see any positive traits in small cities' education?
Yes, of course. For example, in a small town, schools tend to have fewer students than in a big city. This allows teachers to better serve students. Sometimes that can improve the school performance of students. Also, in a school in a small town, children can make better use of the natural resource of the environment, and it is easier to organize activities where the family participates. In a small city, it's more normal to carry out generate students. So if you want to study a degree, especially study, it is necessary to go to the big city. However, a small city often have a strong attraction for private educational investment.
I see. And what about big cities then?
Yeah, I can continue by saying that in big cities, other than the technological aspect that Carmen has touched on, there is a higher level of tolerance in general and better education because there are more schools to choose from and more teachers. Also, there are more degrees and more infrastructures for young people to get their education in. So I think it's a clear winner.
Okay, maybe you're right here, but it's actually interesting to hear about the pluses of small cities here, because when the education is more personalized, it has its value, definitely. Another point is free time. Do you think that you can rest well and find more hobbies to take up in small cities rather than big?
I think that in big cities, as there are more people and therefore more diversity or variety of taste, there is usually a greater variety of entertainment. For that reason, on an individual level, every day in big cities, people have the possibility to do many hobbies and to invest their free time in many different activities. Also, interacting with people from various backgrounds, as I've said before, can give you a fresh take on life itself and perhaps also learn to appreciate it even more. Of course, that doesn't mean that you can learn about these people online, but meeting them in person offers you another kind of experience that is both exciting and intriguing. maybe the more you get used to this new lifestyle in the city, the more you'll become closer to the people you meet. From quiet bookstores to loud clubs, there's never a shortage of things to do, or even when moving to the big city. No matter what your preferences are, maybe you'll find something that appeals to your interest. You'll also encounter like-minded individuals who share the same interests as you. Even though rural and suburban areas come with their own cultural and social amenities, they aren't up to the level that you can find in the city itself. You might also encounter some of your favorite movies and musical personalities in the big town, since there's not much incentive to visit the rural regions. For example, concerts are more likely to happen in the big city than in a small town. Also, the metropolitan areas have more clubs and communities that will allow you to connect with the locals. On another note, there is a higher chance of getting a partner because there are more people, so you have the chance of getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend if you wish. And also, if you have lived in the same town for 10 years or more, chances are that you know the town very well and have done about everything there is to do. But if you spend 10 years living in a major city, you likely won't come close to experiencing everything the city has to offer. There is always something to do in a major city to keep people of all different interests from getting bored. Most cities have a lively nightlife, different types of food to try, shows of all types, museums, landmarks, parks, festivals, sports games, and much more. If you're a visual or performance artist or musician, there are plenty of opportunities in big cities to become a part of the scene.
Okay, that's quite a list. But what about small towns then?
I agree with you, Maria, that it's a small town. There are fewer options available and people have less frequency to do them. That is, every day there is not everything. But hobby and free time in a small city are usually more related to nature because a small city tend to have more natural space, something that is very positive for health. Also, in a small city or town, the street is very important. People spend a lot of time interacting on the street with other people, and people also tend to do more sport.
I can see that in big cities there is less nature, but also I would like to add that there are a lot of public parks.
Was there any sports that you took up, Carmen?
For example, you can do tennis, or you can do basketball. Of course, people like to do football. And also you can do hiking, for example, trips. Another thing that you can do is camping, picnic, for example.
That's exciting. Yeah, I think I never do picnicking in Moscow. Sometimes, maybe once a year, but not that often. That's true. All right, but as you mentioned nature, I was thinking about pollution levels because I personally didn't have hard time breathing in big cities. But altogether with that, when I saw that my windowsill in Moscow was getting dirty in just within 4 days, it was black, I think that it will probably affect me in the future. Maria, would you defend big cities on that issue?
I mean, I would say that pollution is caused by big cities. I don't think I can defend big cities too much in this case. But also, I can say that there are more ways of recycling and using renewable energies, like solar energy through solar panels in bigger cities. They have more technology for this kind of stuff than in smaller cities.
All right. Is it so, Carmen?
In a small city, having fewer vehicles, so have less pollution. As they have fewer service, restaurant, and leisure, so life and noise pollution will be less. However, the problem in a small city is with the agriculture contamination.
I see. But I also wonder how much time you spend on commuting in your cities. For me, the transport system should be very efficient. If not, then I don't really like the city. How about your cities?
I agree with you. The transport system is very important to me. So that's why I like the big city, because one of the other good things about living there is the comprehensive transportation systems that they have. Not only are there buses and taxis, but there are also subways that offer a relatively quick and convenient solution to help you get from one point to another and also traffic along the way. Besides that, taking the train will give you all the time you want to focus on reading a book or even listening to your favorite podcast without taking your eyes off the road. If you have to travel a lot from work, also, you'll definitely have an easier to commute to the airport when living in the city compared to the small towns. Instead of paying for an Uber or a Lyft, public transportation has connecting routes to international airports everywhere, and it's not that expensive. Living next to an international airport will also have more nonstop flights, so you can expect to arrive at your final destination faster.
With this, I can definitely relate, because every time when I was in a small city and there either was a small airport or there were no airports at all, that was so hard for me to travel. I spent lots of money and also I spent lots of time just to get to the airport. And small cities, what about them?
In a small city or towns, it's tough to have a good road network that allow them to be connected to another nearby city for any emergency. However, they also usually have public transport, although the number of options available is much less than in a big city.
All right, I don't think that I'm very much convinced by that. It still seems like a negative point to me with the limited number of transport options in a city. What about restaurants and cafes? Are there any limitations in a small city, or what is also your experience about the big city and coffee shops and restaurants in them?
I mean, obviously, another one of the good things about living in the city is the vast lines of top quality restaurants to dine in. Also, living in a bigger city means that there's a bigger variety of different foods.
In the case of a small city and town, the variety of a restaurant and shopping center is less, but of high quality.
I think I would also add that one of the issues for me is not the quality of food at restaurants, because I believe that you can find any type of food in any kind of city, it's possible, but rather the opening hours, because once I was visiting a small city in France, and when I arrived there, it was around 3 p.m., all the restaurants were already closed, it was after the lunch hour, and they were going to open again only in a few hours at 6 or 7 p.m., which I couldn't bear because I was really hungry by that time. And then luckily one of the restaurants brought me in. The lady cooked for me a fast meal from the leftovers from the lunch hour, and I was just proudly sitting there eating my meal, enjoying it in a place where no one was eating already. So talking about this kind of availability, how do people manage with the doctor's appointments and hospital visits?
I think that rural areas don't have the kind of facilities and resources for proper medical care when compared to the big city. And most of those living in remote regions travel plenty of kilometers to visit a doctor or specialist. So living in a big city lessens that disadvantage to a high degree. Also, competition within cities allows medical centers to hire only the most well-learned staff, which basically means that you'll have the best care you can find.
Carmen, would you like to add something on that?
Yeah, of course, because it is true that in a small town or village, there are basic health services. However, with fewer inhabitants, the relationship between patient and doctor is much closer than in a big city.
Okay, to close this services point up a little bit, I'm going to talk about other services that cities have that are better than in small cities. For example, cities have a very good supply of electricity and often have power plants near to it. So if you happen to be in an emergency situation where electricity is cut off, you can quickly get back to having it in very few minutes. Cities often have factories near them also for the production of goods and materials for the people. For online shopping, there are websites that reach the bigger cities better than the smaller ones. So if you order something, it will be more likely than it will arrive to a city rather than a small town. Modern cities have many apartments instead of individual houses, and thus housing problems are somewhat solved due to many flats in single buildings. Cities have better postal service. And finally, in most cities, there are big courts for resolving legal troubles and for getting justice in case of problems and crimes.
As we have already said, a small city usually have minimal and basic service. However, since there is less quantity, it can be easy to control that they work well. And in addition, the necessary investments are small, so it is easier for them to grant them and receive the money they need to improve change or start up.
I think that so far you have managed successfully to balance out the pluses and minuses for small and big cities. But I have another three categories for you. And one of them is safety in a city. How safe are big cities?
Okay, so the ways of keeping you safe in the city is that they have a better system of police to help us during problems and also firemen to help us in case of fire. Also, that means that there are more doctors and hospitals. Also, I don't think it relates to being safe exactly, but maybe it does, which I want to just point out that there's more privacy. So you have your safety in that way because people are not, they do not know your life and where you're going and everything. But if it's a really small town, people are more likely to know where you're going and thus your safety could be endangered. Also, I wanted to add that cities have a better draining system, meaning that they actually avoid floods.
This very much depends on a local caretaker.
True.
Moscow is not one of those cities, unfortunately. Yes, in Moscow there is a huge trouble with pavements because the local mayor likes to change them every season. So every season they change the pavements in all of Moscow city center, which means that there is a lot of mess and there are some small troubles when the rain comes. And after that, when it's all good and clean, we have winter. And this pavement is not very good, I think, because in winter it breaks. So when it's minus 15 already, it breaks. And then it starts all over again. Because you have springs, I see that the pavement is broken. It's not possible to walk in the city, especially if you have kids or a stroller or just your house is not that good. And they want to change the pavement one more time. They change it and maybe around summer time it's more or less good. But yes, definitely pavements and drainage systems, they need to be taken care of. And yes, how is it in smaller cities? What's about safety there?
According to population statistics, in a small city or town, crime tend to be lower than in a big city. And the good thing is that in a small city or town, are easier to track and some people tend to know each other better. So it is more easy to find a criminal or offender than in a big city.
Maybe the number of robberies can also depend on the population's well-being. Because if people have higher salaries, I think that there is no need to steal. And then I would automatically consider bigger cities safer and more prosperous, which also comes with a higher cost of living. Maria, what would you say?
Yes, I agree that the cost is probably higher in the big city. However, I think that the salaries are also higher, so you can pay for everything.
In a small town, there is more local commerce, which make things a little cheaper. Even the neighbor usually have land where they ground fault, and when they have a lot, they give it among the neighbor. Also, people from a small city or town are used to living with fewer things, so the cost of living will be lower. Also, in a small city, the land is cheaper, so the cost of rent is cheaper than in a big city. However, it's possible that in a small city, the people spend more on mobility in case they have to leave their city often.
Talking about mobility, where do you think tourism is more developed, in big or small cities?
I think in bigger cities because they have more tourists due to the fact that they offer a broad range of cultural, architectural, technological, social and natural experiences. There are different activities carried out by city tourists, among them the visit to buildings within a city, such as museums and art galleries, religious temples, skyscrapers, and buildings with some historical interest, monuments and memorials, cemeteries, etc. There is also the attendance at massive events, such as festivals, concerts, parades, conferences, demonstrations, and protests. Tourist activities linked to nightlife and cultural tourism are also typical of city tourism due to the supply that exists in the most populated areas. In the same way, there is a correlation between city tourism and shopping tourism, especially for people from smaller towns or countryside who take advantage of sightseeing while shopping.
The tourism that I use to visit a small city or town is usually a much more familiar or adult type of Touris, who is interested in res, cal, singularity, nature. For this reason, it is usually a least abusive and aggressive tourism. However, tourism in a small city or town is usually much more temporary than in a big city. It is a problem for a small city or town.
But did you yourself travel a lot in Spain?
No, I would like to travel more, but if I am honest, I don't usually travel a lot. But I usually go to places near of my city or a small town near of Malaga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I usually go to near of my city and another big city or another place that is more far.
I see. And what about you, Maria? Do you travel a lot in Spain?
I would say that it depends on what I'm doing at that moment, but usually I do like to travel just inside of Spain, because even though it's my country and I should go to other countries, I think Spain has so many things and variety of towns and cities. I think that Valencia is a big city and is really pretty. And last time I went, I spent a day in an aquarium, and also it has a lot of beautiful parks that I really enjoyed. But also there are small towns which are very intriguing and you like to spend a day there. Like, for example, in Malaga, there is a town called Ronda, which is very, very beautiful. And although it has a lot of slopes and you have to walk a lot, if you are ready for some exercise, you should go there.
I will definitely go there. I like challenges. Ronda, isn't it round?
I don't know. I think it's just Ronda. I don't know if it has an English name. Maybe it does.
So you've been talking now about Valencia. What other cities are most visited in Spain?
The most visited Spanish cities right now are Madrid, Barcelona, Seville, Palma, and Benidorm. First of all, Madrid had approximately 9 million tourists last year, and as the capital of Spain, it is expected that people might want to visit it. In second place, we have Barcelona, which had 8 million people enjoying the beautiful architecture, warm weather. Next up is Seville, one of tourists' favorite destinations in the south because of its gastronomy, history, and atmosphere. Very close in number of tourists, with 2 million, we have Palma, which is located in the Balearic Islands and is often visited during the summer. And lastly, in fifth place, there is Benidorm, where people can spend their day at the beach and eat great food in the restaurants nearby. Have you girls ever been to any of these cities? Which one sounds the most enticing?
I have only been to Madrid and Barcelona. It is true that they are a very big city. In fact, I would like to go back because I still have things to see and do. And also, I really want to go to Sevilla because I have never been. I would like to meet her.
I have a very similar experience because I also have been to Madrid and Barcelona. And Barcelona is the best for me. I didn't like Madrid too much. That was too hot. Sevilla sounds really nice. Yes, I would love to go there.
Did you go to Madrid during the summer?
Yes, I think that was August.
Oh yeah, that's not a good thing to do. Yes,
I was just melting, and for the first time in my life, I think I had some tan.
People usually leave Madrid when it's summer, so yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and tourists came, so I was one of them. But that was a nice experience in general. I saw a lot of dancing, I tried local food as well, but still, I visited Barcelona in summer and in winter, and that experience was just lovely.
Now I'm going to tell you about some of the most visited towns in Spain. The first option is Gijón. It's one of the most visited towns in Spain, and it is very close to Madrid, a city with a lot of tourists. So people like its main square, its architecture, its castle, and its gastronomy. Another very good option is Trujillo. It is in Cáceres and began to be more visited since it appeared in the seventh season of Game of Thrones. And now, if you like beach area, you can visit Peñíscola in Castellón. This town is from the Phoenician era. Its main attraction are its castle and an area of natural ideal for hiking. Another good option is Albarracín in Teruel. It's for many one of the most beautiful towns in Spain. In fact, they have a plea to make it a wall-irrigated site for its beauty and singularity. Finally, I want to talk about Tabernas, a town in Almería, a city in the south of Spain. Tabernas and Eat the Surf is an ideal place to enjoy the outdoors. For a long time, many moves were shot in this place. In addition, it has a timber park ideal for spending the day with the family.
Wow, I should take it as advice probably and try to visit all of these small towns and cities as well. All right, but there is also one bonus category which I would like to propose to you. There is famous people who live in a countryside or a small city. I think it's very interesting to look at how famous people can live out of a big city, out of Hollywood or Los Angeles. And I only came up with two examples actually myself. That is Meryl Streep and Stephen Fry. They both live in a countryside or small city. Yeah, it's hard for me to differentiate, but as I know that Meryl Streep raised her family and she still spends most of her time in Salisbury, Connecticut. And as for Stephen Fry, lastly, he was living in a countryside in Great Britain. So I find that both lovely and unusual because we have these associations of famous people always being in the middle of events, always being in a big city, in chic restaurants and so on. But there are some exceptions. Do you know any other exceptions like that?
I want to talk about Rafael Nadal. This famous Spanish tennis player lives in Puerto Cristo, a very small town in Mallorca, and he has chose to live there because he was looking for a quiet place with a lot of privacy and close to the sea. So this place is perfect for him.
Nice. Maria, do you know any other examples as well?
Yes, actually, I have gathered three examples. The first one is Taylor Swift. She's a country music megastar that grew up on an 11-acre Christmas tree farm in Wyomissing Township, Pennsylvania, which borders the city of Reading. That's where she first started writing songs and eventually performing at much smaller venues than what she's gotten used to now. And according to the Morning Call, she told the audience at a 2018 concert, "Every year as I come home to Pennsylvania, it gets more and more special, and the fact that it went from that to playing two nights at a sold-out stadium is amazing." So even though she has a lot of money, she still likes and prefers to be in her small town. Also, my second option is Jennifer Lawrence. Before she was an Oscar-winning actress, she was a regular girl growing up in the regular small town of Indian Hills, Kentucky. In 2013, she arrived at the Oscars with her parents and siblings, who, according to the New York Daily News, insist that their famous family member is still a small-town girl at heart. And finally, I have John Mayer. He actually bought a piece of land in Paradise Valley in the state of Montana and built a cabin there so he can live completely alone. But he has everything he needs for his singing career, like a recording studio.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't like living in a Paradise Valley?
Yeah.
And I would like to switch the topic a little bit, basically jumping from categories to our own experience and conversation about changes, because cities come through a lot of changes as well as people, and the expansion of Moscow, São Paulo, Mexico City, maybe also Madrid, has brought a lot of questions on security, belonging, and personal comfort. And it's not always comfortable to be surrounded by a crowd when you live in a big city. So I found this nice quote from Lewis Mumford from the book The Culture of Cities, and I can say that having lived in Moscow, I can relate. Let me just read it out to you. So he wrote, "This metropolitan world then is a world where flesh and blood is less real than paper, ink, and celluloid. It's a world where the great masses of people, unable to have direct contact with more satisfying means of living, take life vicariously as readers, spectators, passive observers. A world where people watch shadow heroes and heroines in order to forget their own clumsiness and coldness in love, while they lack the nerve even to resist the petty tyranny of their immediate boss. living thus year in and year out, at second hand, remote from the nature that is outside them, and no less remote from the nature within, handicapped as lovers and as parents by the routine of the metropolis and by the constant specter of insecurity and death that hovers over its bold towers and shadowed streets. As I told, I find it very beautiful, and I can also say that for me that's a very precise description of a big city or metropolis.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's a very beautiful quote.
I think so too.
And now we've prepared a game which is called Guess if the city is a town or a big city just by hearing the name. So this game is for you, Natasha, because there are Spanish cities and towns, and Carmen and I have prepared it specially for you.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Exciting. I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one is called Jerez de la Frontera. So do you think it's a big city or a small town?
I would go with a small town.
The answer is a city. It has over 200,000 people. So yeah, it would be considered like a medium to large city. It's not like a very small town.
All right. I'll try to do best with the second one.
The second one is Burgos.
This one rings a bell, so I will go for big city.
And you're correct. It is a city that has 100,000 people, and it is in the north of Spain. Maybe you've heard it before.
I think I've heard it before, but yeah, it's not a big city.
I mean, it's for the north, it's big, but like it's not like a town with two people. So
I see.
And then lastly, we have Illán de Vacas.
That is difficult. I would go for a town, a small city.
And correct again. It has a population of 3 people.
Wow.
Yeah, literally 3 people. So yeah, you won.
What do they do there, I wonder?
I have no idea. Probably agriculture or something, but it's like 3 people, so I don't think they do much.
I would still like to take a look on a visit. But thank you for this interesting game.
You're welcome.
Now that you prepared the game, I would also like to pay you back and also ask you some questions about Russian cities. And then you can guess whether the city is big or small. And I define a big city of being over, let's say, 300,000.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe you will find your own definitions. So let's try it out. Are you ready to start?
Yes.
Yes, I'm excited.
The first place is Yaroslavl.
Carmen.
Can you repeat?
No, I cannot repeat. It's going to be difficult.
I think it's small.
I think it's big. I beg to differ.
And it's indeed a big city. It has around 500,000 people.
Nice.
Okay, and the next one will be Mali Turish.
That maybe sounds like a small city. What do you think, Carmen?
Yes, I think so. It's a small city.
And you're both right. Yes.
Yay.
That's rather a village. It has around 69 people.
69. Oh my God.
Precisely. Wow. But that's a bit of a touristy place right now because there are some tours which one of the companies that I worked with organized there, and we were bringing foreign people to visit this place to look at the Russian nature and how people live in these kind of places. Mm-hmm. So now it has at least one house with a proper Wi-Fi, bathroom and everything else.
It sounds very cool.
And the third one will be Tumen. Tumen.
I think this one's tricky. Because it could be either way.
I think it's a big city.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a big city.
Why not?
Why not? And it is. It is a big city. It has around 600,000 people.
Wow. Okay.
It's quite a picturesque city in the eastern north of Russia. So it's quite cold in winter. It's quite warm in summer. And it's also rich in nature and oil and gas. So that's a nice city to visit if you want to know something about the industry of Russia.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your game.
Yeah.
Thank you for your answers. That was fun. On this positive note, Urban designers and architects are constantly looking for ways to enhance our cities and make them more sustainable, inclusive, and innovatively convenient for everyone. I know that you, Maria, was looking at different trends for the future of the cities. Did you find anything interesting there?
Yes, I did. I found 12 trends that Deloitte Insights has identified. The first one is green planning of public spaces, which means that cities are being planned and designed for people with green streets, new corridors, and public spaces as centers of social life. Also, smart health communities. Cities develop healthcare ecosystems that are focused not only on diagnosing and treating sickness, but also on supporting well-being through early intervention and prevention while leveraging digital technologies. 15-minute city, which means that cities are being designed in a way that amenities and most services are within a 15-minute walking or cycling distance, creating a new neighborhood approach. Mobility, intelligence, sustainable, and as a service. Cities work towards offering digital, clean, intelligent, autonomous, and intermodal mobility with more walking and cycling spaces where transport is commonly provided as a service. And I know I've mentioned there are 12, but to not make this very long, I'm just going to mention two more that I think are interesting: inclusive services and planning, and digital innovation ecosystem.
This sounds very smart. I'm a bit skeptic when it's all that beautifully written, but on the other hand, I very much like the concept of a 15-minute city, because I was reading about that before, and I know that there are some cities which actually try this approach already. And I would wish to have it in my city as well. These 15 minutes of walking and finding yourself in a convenient space where you can buy everything and enjoy walking with a dog or kid or your friend sounds like a really nice idea.
And do you think it sounds like a utopia, or that maybe people can make this possible in a few years?
I think it's possible, but I also think that different cities see different ways of doing that and trying out this strategy. And probably some cities will fail with it, trying to implement these 15-minute cities as huge skyscrapers, for example, when you have two gross buildings and everything is inside them. That I wouldn't like to have, even though I would spend same 15 minutes. I think it's not creative. I think it brings a pressure, not comfort.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, Maria, as you mentioned, digital innovation ecosystem, I was thinking that I'm so much looking forward to the time when cities will become available to everyone who wants to do something online. I mean, for example, to vote, to make a doctor's appointment, and so on. Because some countries are already making some steps towards that. For example, I know that in Estonia, you can currently do a lot of things online and there is no need to go out and make a call. People just can type it on their laptop and that's done. But how is it in Spain? Are cities adapted to digital innovations or not really?
I believe that in Spain right now, it's a combination of physical and digital elements. I think that there are lots of digital platforms where you can do things like make a doctor's appointment, as you have said before, or like go to the supermarket online and have your food delivered directly to your house. But there are also other things that make you go to the places you need to be there physically. Like, for example, some administrative paperwork or whatever, sometimes they require you to go to the mayor's office or go to a school, for example, to deliver the papers. So I think that we are going forward with this digital innovation, but I think there's a lot more to be done.
Okay, I see. But I hope for the best.
I think that after of COVID, the city are more prepared with the technology that years ago, but I think the problem is that the people are not prepared for this. So it's necessary that they have to age us for the evolution, the advances. So I think the problem is that the people need to learn.
Yeah, and I think something very interesting is that digital innovation is not taking or not thinking enough of elderly people. in this case, because young people can learn to use this technology to make a doctor's appointments, for example, but maybe someone who's older is not capable enough to do this transaction.
Yeah. Those are really good points that you made. Okay, Carmen, and where do you hope to end up in 5 years? In a small city?
In 5 years, I don't know exactly where I would like to be, but I am sure that I will prefer to live in a quiet place. Either is in a small city or big city, but for me the most important is the place is quiet and calm. So this is the only that I have, sure.
And you, Maria?
For me, I don't exactly know where I'll be in 5 years because no one knows, but I hope it will be in a medium city or in a big city. What about you, Natasha?
Well, I have my doubts. I don't know where I will end up eventually, but I know for sure that I would like to try living in different countries and most likely in bigger cities. Cities like Barcelona or maybe Paris, New York, I'm not so sure, maybe a short stay, but some other American city as well. So let's see, let's try and meet in 5 years time and understand where we are, in what kind of city or a place.
Yeah, sure.
So summing up, do you think that your opinion changed throughout our discussion, or do you still stick to your first preference of a big or a small city?
I still think that living in a small town is maybe better than living in a big city. In fact, I believe that today small cities are more important. Maybe years ago, everyone tried to go to the big city because there were many more opportunities, advance, advancement. It was said that the quality of life and prosperity was linked to the big city. However, today the big city are still more opportunity and advance, but after massification, teleworking, some crisis, and much more responsible consumption behavior, a small city or town are now more attractive. So I believe that if you get to have a security job with a good salary, I am sure that it's better to live in a small town and go to big city for specific needs.
And I think I'm going to stick to my answer, which means that I still prefer big cities. Because even though Carmen's arguments were good and I learned a lot from them, I think I still prefer the big city.
It stays for me as well. I still can't decide whether I like a small city or a big city more. But there were a lot of arguments that you guys gave that I found really interesting and revealing for myself, and which I should take into consideration when finally making some decisions. Thank you, dear listeners, that you have been with us today at the Mushtar FM Wave. We hope that you found your city of dreams, no matter big or small. We know that in the end, it's people around you who make life interesting, not a city. Enjoy your day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.